I want to preach from Matthew chapter 24. This scripture has been a burden in my spirit recently. I want to preach it to you this morning. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for not having my wife. And our son's 7 months old, and he's got his second ear infection. He's been on 71 flights at 7 months old, and he's already been to Singapore, and he's headed to Africa in a couple months. He's just a world traveler. He's more popular than I am. And headed to Bangladesh in a few months after that. He's just getting around the world. So, but we're so thankful to be here. And I've been looking forward to this date on my schedule. And I appreciate Brother Pugh for inviting me. And he knows, he was an evangelist. December's a tough time for evangelists. People just don't like to have revival around Christmas time, I guess. Amen, amen, amen. But God is still God. Somebody say amen. Amen. I feel like I have a very, very timely word, whether it's for you or not. I feel like we are living in the very last days. In Matthew 24, Jesus speaks about the last days, starting in verse 4. And it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Somebody say, but the end is not yet. About 20% said that. Everybody say, but the end is not yet. See how it sounds different when everybody gets involved? Amen. I've got one sermon. I've got two titles. My first title is, "This is not the end." This is not the end. Lord, we love you, and we know that we do not deserve for your presence to even be in this place. Much less do we deserve for you to demonstrate your presence and your power. But Lord, you said to approach your throne with boldness, to seek you first, and all these things shall be added unto us. So we come to you first thing today, and we proclaim the blessings and favor of the Lord upon this church and upon this service. Move like you desire to move. Speak how you want to speak. God, this church is listening to your word. Manifest your power. Fill everyone with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Heal the sick. Deliver the captive. In the name of Jesus Christ. Would you clap your hands one more time and give great praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, do that just a little bit longer. Somebody get uncomfortable this morning. Somebody just let it loose for a second. For God inhabits the praises of his people. We need God to manifest himself in this place today. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I just feel like having a move of God. I don't like getting dressed up and going to church and not having a move of God. I just simply believe that if we call ourselves apostolic, Pentecostal, and we put on our tie and our best clothes and we come to church, we just might as well have a move of God. I don't like churches that have a sign on the front porch that say Pentecostal, but you go in and you don't have any presence of God at all. I don't like going to church and not having God in the center. In fact, I'll just say it like it is. It's not church if God is not there. For God said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. If God is not in this place, we're just going through the motions. And I'm thankful that I can feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. Without his presence, nobody can be changed. And without his presence, nobody can be healed. And without his presence, nobody can be filled with the Holy Ghost. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you can give me all the monitor you can until my ears bleed, that would help me out a lot. Just a few months ago, I just absolutely tore my voice to pieces. We were over in Malawi, and we do a crusade in Malawi every year, a Holy Ghost crusade, and we've seen tens of thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost over in the nation of Malawi in Africa. And just a couple of months ago, we were there, and we were expecting great things, and we got there to the first service, and I'll just say it like it is. I don't think God was there. He was running late, I guess, and it was very confusing, and it was very divided, and there was discord, and I mean, you ever had, probably not in this church, but you've ever been to a service like that before where everybody showed up, and you're wearing the same tie you wore last week, sitting in the same pew you sat in last week, and it just wasn't happening, you know, it wasn't jumping and jiving like it always. You ever been in a service like that before? I know you don't want to blow your cover in front of your pastor. You just kind of give me a little nod and say, yeah, we've had that before, a time or two. But we showed up, and we were on this crusade ground out in the middle of nowhere, and we had some electricity running there, and I got up to preach at the very end of the service and to have a harvest and an altar call, and we were going to teach some altar working seminar, some training, and I got up to the pulpit, and all of a sudden, just boom, the lights went out, the electricity blew up, and the generator went out, and everything that could go wrong went wrong, and I'm sitting there speaking to 600 people without a microphone, not in a building where it's closed like this, but out on a crusade field and under the stars, and they couldn't see me any longer because the lights went out and it was pitch dark, and all the ministers from America and really around the world stood at the platform with their iPhones or whatever phone they had and shined their flashlight on me so the people on the crusade grounds could see me, and I just had to put the microphone down, and you know, sometimes the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, and there I was thinking, well, the microphone's dead, the electricity's out, nothing's going to happen. So I just started screaming at the top of my lungs, if you want the Holy Ghost, if you want a healing in your body, just go ahead and come to the altar right now, no sense in trying to preach. And people came, and in that one service, without any electricity, without any good music, without any good preaching, God filled over 250 people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I ruined my voice that night, and it's not really been the same. But I'll tell you what, I love it when God shows up and says, you don't have to have all the things that you think you need to have. Padded pews are good, and microphones are good, and the lights are good, and electricity is good, and the Christmas trees are good, and the projector is good, and your music is good. But I just love it when God shows up and says, I don't need all of that. All I have to do is just show up, and if I show up, anything can happen. Am I in a church that believes that where God is, there can be anything that can happen? Miracles can happen. Deliverance can happen. Am I in a church today that believes Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? It does not matter where you are or who you are. It matters who God is. Brother Pugh, before that week was over, we saw 3,010 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We saw in a healing service, we did a healing service. In fact, it was a giving service that turned into a healing service. I might preach on that some other time. But it was a giving service. And these are people that don't even have homes or cars or shoes. And their life expectancy in one of these villages is 37 years old. And we had a giving service. How do you have a giving service with people who don't have anything at all? Because it's not about the amount that you give. These people, this is going to make somebody backslide today, but these people, they might have one t-shirt. That's all they had. So you know what they do? They take off their t-shirt and say, this is all I got, so I'm going to put it on the altar. They might have one pair of sandals, and they take it off and say, this is all I got, so I'm going to put it on the altar. They might have one kwacha, which is the equivalent of about a penny or two in the U.S. dollar, and they would come and put that kwacha on the altar, and all of a sudden, God would begin to move. And in that healing service, 81 blinded eyes opened up, 46 deaf ears opened up. We had over 35 tumors disappear. over 3,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost. We had a lady who was mute and deaf. She came up and gave at the altar. And the moment she gave, she just lifted her hand. She couldn't speak. She couldn't hear. But in her spirit, she began to pray, "I give my life to you." And in that moment, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. He opened up both of her ears and she spoke for the very first time. I've got video footage of it on my phone. I'm telling you that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. I just want somebody to know this morning that what you might be facing, that this is not the end. That your troubles are not the end of you. That the problems that you might be facing are not the end of you. Yes, I might be preaching a bit of a prosperity gospel this morning, but I'm not preaching that you can just sow a seed and see it come back in millions of dollars. That's not what I'm preaching to you this morning. I am preaching to you the Word of God. And Jesus said that there will be wars. And there will be rumors of wars. He said, but don't be deceived and don't be troubled, because the end is not yet. How many of you truly believe that God is in control? There has never been a day that the devil was in control. There has never been a day that Lucifer has been in control. There has never been a day where disease or sickness was in control. There has never been a day where addiction or divorce was in control. God is the author and the finisher, the Alpha and Omega. Let me just read some of these verses, if you'll put it on the screen for me, in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. They had been asking him about time. When is all of this going to happen? Just like they asked him before he ascended into heaven. They grabbed his robe and pulled him down from his ascension and said, "Hold on, Jesus. When are you going to do all these things you said you're going to do?" And in Acts 1, Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons." He just said, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And in this text, we read that he was asked again about time, and Jesus begins to teach them about the end times. And he says, first of all, I want you to know that you can't let anything deceive you. Do not be deceived. Do not be manipulated. Do not be persuaded by anything but my word. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, secondly, before I teach you about the end times, do not be afraid. Didn't get an amen on that one, because we struggle with fear. I don't care how much you got the Holy Ghost. We struggle with fear. Timothy had the Holy Ghost. But Paul still told Timothy in his last letter. He said, Timothy, I want to remind you, stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. For God did not give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you power, he gave you love, and he gave you a sound mind. So I speak to a people knowing very well that although we have the Holy Ghost, the spirit of power and deliverance and the spirit of healing and the spirit of deliverance inside of us, the spirit of victory and creation inside of us, we still struggle with fear, because our perception is our reality. And so Jesus says in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not afraid. Do not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. These things must come to pass. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. For the kingdom of God, it suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. These things must come to pass. There will be hurricanes.
hurricanes. There will be earthquakes. There will be problems. He goes on and tells them in verse 7. He says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, which are diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. He says these things must happen. But he had already laid the foundation and said, don't be deceived and don't be afraid. These things must happen. There will be wars and there will be earthquakes and there will be hurricanes and there will be problems. Verse 8, he says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. But here it comes. Now he points the finger at the church. This is where I'm going to really lose all the amens for just a second. But in verse 9, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We are seeing that all over the world. We're seeing that all over the world today, that Christians are being persecuted like the very first church, that they are being persecuted for our faith and our belief. And not too far from here, I just preached in San Antonio last Sunday. It was just a 30-minute drive from the church in Sutherland Springs, where there were 26 people that were shot dead in a Christian church. I don't know if they believed everything that we believe. I don't know if they baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know if they speak in tongues, but I do know that they were a Christian church. They believed that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Messiah. And in that Christian church, a man walked in and shot 26 of them dead, and over 20 more of them were wounded. Some of you read the stories and saw the news. I read one of the stories that the first responders came in and they found parents and they found fathers and mothers and grandparents laying over the children, and they were dead laying over them. They were covering them, protecting them from the persecution, from the shooting that came into their peaceful church one Sunday morning. I read one story that there was a grandmother that barely survived the attack, and she was, in fact, no, excuse me, it wasn't the grandmother, it was another lady that barely survived the attack, and she told a story of a grandmother that had passed away in that attack. And the story goes that the grandmother was laying over her granddaughter, and she was speaking to this lady, and she was saying, it's going to be all right, it's going to be okay, just keep your voices down. And the lady, the young lady, was saying, we're about to die, this is it, it's all over for us. We're going to die. I'm never going to live another day. And the elderly lady began to whisper to her. She said, ain't it going to be great? In just a few minutes, you're about to see Jesus. In just a few more seconds, this life is going to be over for us. But we're going to see streets of gold and walls of jasper and a gate of pearl, and we're going to stand around the throne of God in just a few minutes. We're going to be in heaven. She was trying to speak words of faith and hope and joy and positivity in a time of persecution and death. She was saying, ain't it going to be great? You see, this isn't the end for us. We're only beginning. We're about to walk through a gate of pearl, and we're going to see Jesus. Well, I wish I had all of you on my side this morning, because it's going to be great. I know we might die, but we're only going to die in this life. But if we've got the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we all see Jesus. We're going to sing. We're going to shout. We're going to have the victory. You ought to clap your hands with all of your might, because this is not the end for us. Clap your hands again as loud as you can. Just let faith rise. I don't know about you, but I just got excited about the day that I'm going to get to walk through a gate and leave cancer behind. The day I get to walk through a gate and leave murder behind and leave sin behind. I can't. My father, he's a pastor today, but 35 years ago, he fell off a 5-story building and landed on concrete and broke nearly every bone in his body. He's had over 80 major surgeries in his body. He can't walk a step without feeling pain shoot through his body. Doctors have told him many times, we've got to amputate your legs. Doctors have told him several times, you've got only weeks to live because of different infections. It's my father that I think of on that great and glorious morning when we get to see Jesus, and I'm going to see my daddy walk down. No, he's not going to walk. He's going to run. He's going to jump. He's going to shout. Think about some of you. You've got family. You've got friends that have been diseased, died with diseases, died with sickness. Oh, but there's coming a day that was not the end of them. We're going to see them in eternity. Woo. Somebody say in Jesus' name. It was Jesus that said, they will deliver you up to be afflicted. They will kill you. They will hate you for my name's sake. I was over in the German-speaking nations, and I've been there several times and spent several months over there. And this one particular time, I was going to preach for a mentor of mine, Brother Charles Robinette. He's the general superintendent there of the German-speaking nations. He had called me and invited us to come to a Holy Ghost rally. And he said, well, he invited me several months in advance, but this is just kind of how he is. If any of you have ever met him, he's just crazy, you know, in a good way. And he calls me and he says, when you get here, we're going to have a Trinitarian revival service and we're going to have a Muslim revival service. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? I'm not Trinitarian or Muslim. He begins to tell me in detail. And he says, well, 3 years ago, we prayed through a former Muslim from Iran. His name is Arash. He's received the gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And over the last couple weeks, God has been giving Arash dreams and visions of the end times. He said, Arash came to my door a couple nights ago, knocked on my door and said, Pastor, these dreams and visions, they're getting stronger and they're getting more frequent. And he said, well, what are you seeing, Arash? He said, I'm seeing myself on the city train headed to your church. But when I look over my shoulder, I see hundreds of my people from Iran headed to your church to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, what do I do about this? He said, well, we're going to have a Muslim church. That's just what we're going to do. He said, oh, good. You know, well, okay, we'll make some plans and we'll draw out some blueprints and how we're going to start a church and we'll get a pastor to come and we'll raise some money. He said, no. He said, we're going to have a Muslim service this Saturday. When Brother and Sister Green get here, we're having a Muslim revival this Saturday. He said, did you know, Arash, that in the last 12 months, over 100,000 Muslim refugees have moved into our city of Vienna? You think that's a coincidence? He said, how about you go to the refugee camp and you try to get some of them to come to church with you on Saturday? Tell them we'll feed them. That'll get them to come. See, it's the same all over the world. You tell people we having a potluck, they're going to come. What God are you serving? I don't care. Potluck, I'm there. See, I heard Brother Weber one time, you know, he said, you just have a crawfish party. What do y'all call it? Crawfish? Crawfish boil. Party, whatever, festival. Well, I don't care. Fiesta. You just crawfish. He said, we get people to come to church when it's crawfish season, and we have free crawfish after church. Is that true in Louisiana or not? Amen. He said, you tell them we got food and they're going to come. And so he went and he told all these people, hey, we're going to feed you. You just got to come to my church and we're going to feed you on Saturday. He got 70 Muslim refugees to leave that refugee camp and get on a train with him to the Church of Acts. Only 27 of them made it because when they changed the train, somehow they got confused and over half of them got on the wrong train. That's just how it goes. I got lost this morning coming to church. Praise God. I don't know what happened, but I got lost. I don't know how you get lost in Lake Charles. I got lost. So 27 of them showed up on that Saturday afternoon, didn't speak a lick of English or German. They spoke Farsi, the Iranian language. Here they come, and, you know, I kind of give them a hug and say, praise the Lord, brother. And they kind of look at you like, what? And then me being stupid, I'd say it louder. Praise the Lord, brother. They're not deaf. They don't speak English. So you're laughing because you've done the same thing. You find maybe a Spanish-speaking brother or sister. Say, hello, God bless you. No English. Praise the Lord. No, they don't speak your language. So we just tried to hug them. And I'll tell you what, we were a little bit afraid. I'll just tell you like it is. We were a little afraid because just the week before there had been a bombing in that nation. And the week before that there had been a bombing in Brussels and a bombing over in France and a bombing over in Switzerland. There had been bombings all over the world. And here we are inviting these people into our church. And we're saying, hey, we're going to feed you and we're going to preach to you the name of Jesus. We had 27 of them sit on this side and the rest of the Pentecostals sit on that side. I don't know why it happened like that. And when the service began, here come the Pentecostals. They started this Holy Ghost mosh pit around the altar like they always do at the Church of Acts in Vienna. They started running around, I mean full speed like a NASCAR race around the altar. Now, Brother Pugh, I don't speak Farsi, but I do speak very fluent first-time visitor. Yeah, these first-time visitors, they were speaking my language. They were elbowing each other. Like the first time I saw you people, they were elbowing each other, eyeballs as big as saucers, and I know exactly what they were saying. They were saying, these people are crazy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They were elbowing each other saying, what did we get ourselves into? Where's the free food they told us we were going to have? Who are these people? But you see, by the second song, these people started feeling something they had never felt before. And about 15 to 20 of them started crying tears. Didn't know the words of our songs, but were feeling goosebumps. They started filing out of their pews and started running around the altar with the Pentecostals. I'm talking about Iranian Muslims. You see, not everybody might not agree at first with your doctrine and with your standards and with your convictions and with what you believe. But you just show them a demonstration of your doctrine. They cannot deny a demonstration. That's another sermon. I got up to preach, Brother Pugh, and here comes Arash to interpret. We had a big problem. Arash didn't speak much English. That's the only language I speak, unless I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I started preaching, and I just said, praise the Lord, everybody. And my interpreter stood right here, and he looked at me, and he said, can you say this again, brother? And I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Can you say this again, brother? Praise the... Oh, forget it, man. I shut my iPad off. I scooted back and I said, God, you got me in a pickle now. How am I supposed to preach when I ain't even got an interpreter that really knows my language? I'll tell you something. I'll just be... I don't mind being transparent, because if I can be transparent, you can see through me and see the hand of God. And I'll just be very transparent and honest with you. I stepped back and I said, well, that's too bad. Nobody's going to get the Holy Ghost today. That's what this big-time preacher, big faith evangelist right here, that's what I said. Nobody's getting the Holy Ghost today because I can't explain it to them. The Holy Ghost convicted me and said, no one has ever received my spirit through a step of understanding. See, you do 2 + 2 = 4 with understanding. You do 3 + 3 = 6 with understanding. But how do you do the Holy Ghost? For unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And God said, nobody has ever received my spirit through a step of understanding. They receive my spirit through a step of faith. God said, you just speak the word and I'll do the work. So I just got Arash, just eyeball to eyeball. I said, Arash, you tell them if you want power inside of you from the only God, I want you to come to this altar. And 15 of them came to that altar. And I said, Arash, now tell them, just lift your hands. He told them, lift your hands. Now just say, Jesus, I give my life to you. And when those 15 Muslims said, Jesus, I give my life to you, within the next 30 seconds, all 15 of them were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Brother Pugh, I'll never forget this day for the rest of my life, because never in my life have I seen people receive the Holy Ghost like this. I wasn't able to tell them how to shake your tongue and how to stutter, saying the same phrases over and over. They started speaking in tongues, and watch, the moment their tongue started shaking, they started elbowing their neighbor again like they did before, and they were pointing at their tongue saying, look at my tongue, something's happening to my tongue. It's happening to me. We are living in the very last days. For God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Those same 15 Muslims were baptized in Jesus' name. We went out to eat that night. I'll never forget this day for the rest of my life. We're sitting there at the restaurant. Brother Robinette gets a phone call from Arash. Arash says, Brother Robinette, the revival is over. He says, what are you talking about, Arash? He said, I just took the Muslims that got the Holy Ghost and the rest of them back to their refugee camp. He said, little did we know that in that service, there were two radical Islam spies sitting amongst us. And when we got back to the refugee camp, they ran in and got clubs and bats. And they came out, he said, and they've beaten every last one of them down to a bloody pulp. He said, most of them are unconscious. Most of them have broken bones, bleeding from their faces. He said, and they came to me and put the bat in my face and said, sir, if you ever show your face here again, we will kill you and anybody that goes with you. This was just hours after the service. I cannot tell you what that did to me when I had just laid my hands on them, and only hours later, they were now more persecuted than I've ever been, having the Holy Ghost nearly my whole life. They were more persecuted in 3 hours. Arash said, it's over. This is the end. Brother Robinette said, no, Arash, this is just the beginning. He said, tonight we're going to pray. And tomorrow morning, which was Sunday morning, he said, tomorrow morning you're going back to that refugee camp. He said, and when you walk into that door of that refugee camp, a warring angel from heaven will stand with you, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And we're going to see the greatest harvest of Muslim souls this world has ever seen. What do you think happened the next morning? I'll tell you what happened. Arash went back to that refugee camp. He grabbed up more Muslims. And guess what? The same Muslims that got the Holy Ghost the night before and were beat the night before, they walked into the Church of Acts the very next morning with visitors and friends and family, bringing them to the Church of Acts, sitting them on the front two pews. before that weekend was over, over 30 Muslim people from Iran had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I'll tell this part very quickly because it goes right along with it. But there was a man. In fact, he just friended me on Facebook 2 days ago. His name is Nabi. You go ahead and sit down. Stay, I don't care. Nabi comes to the altar on that Sunday. He received the Holy Ghost on that Saturday evening. But he comes to the altar on Sunday. And I went and prayed with him. And he was shaking. He was so afraid. I said, Nabi, can you speak to me? I got an interpreter. And he began to pray. And he told me through the interpreter. He said, I don't want the Holy Ghost anymore. Because of what, how I was persecuted last night after I got the Holy Ghost. He said, but I want the same power that I felt last night. I said, Nabi, you can't have one or the other. You have the power if you have the Holy Ghost. He said, okay. Well, then I guess I want it. Because I don't want to ever lose the power I felt last night. So we prayed for him. He started speaking in tongues. 2 hours after the service, we were still in the sanctuary, in the altars. And someone said, you need to go pray for Nabi. He's in the prayer room now. And I went to look at Nabi, and he was drunk, slain in the Holy Ghost. They said, he's so afraid, he can't even stand up. And I said, looks to me like he's drunk in the Holy Ghost. I left him alone for another 30 minutes. I went back. He was still drunk in the Holy Ghost. So finally, I got his attention. I said, Nabi, are you all right? Are you afraid? He sat up and he looked at me and he was just speaking in tongues. He couldn't even speak his own language. But finally, he got a few words out and he said, Chris, he said, I'm not afraid of anything. He said, I can feel so much power inside of me right now. He said, I can literally feel the heat coming out of my lips. Watch what he said. This is what Nabi told me, Brother Pugh. He said, my entire life I gave to a God who is a figment of my imagination. He said, I went to mosques every day. And for at least 3 hours a day, I laid on the floor and I spoke to Allah. And Allah never spoke back to me. He said, but 1 minute. At the altar of your God, not only has he spoken to me, but he has filled me with his own power. And now it is inside of me. I feel led of the Holy Ghost to do this. I want everyone just to lift up both of your hands, and I want you to lift up your head, and I want you to close your eyes. I feel led of the Lord to pray the prayer of faith right now. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of fear, every spirit of deception, every spirit of complacency, every spirit of contentment in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! I loose you in the name of Jesus to be the devil's worst nightmare. Right now, let there be anointing, let there be power, let there be a fresh flow of the Holy Ghost. Would you stand to your feet with me? I don't need to preach any further. The King is in this place right now. I told you I had one sermon and two titles. I'm only going to introduce the next title to you because you'll get it. In verse 14, would you put verse 14 up? Jesus had told them all the bad things that would happen. And then he said, this is not the end. He said, but you want to know what the end is? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then, devil, you are not the end of us. Jesus declared it. The end is when every nation, every race, every culture, every village, every tribe has heard the truth of the gospel. It's been about 16 or 17 months since that Muslim service. Stay standing with me. And today, over 200 of those Muslim refugees in about a year and a half have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And nobody has seen those spies since. You want to know what happened? I'll tell you what happened to the spies. Jesus said it, in fact, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He said, for those that bless you, I will bless. But those that curse you, I will curse. For no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, because greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. If God, watch this, Pastor Pugh, if God can fill Muslims with the Holy Ghost in a German-speaking nation, what can he do in the United States of America? If there is any doubt in this room right now, I rebuke it to leave in the name of Jesus. For we stand on holy ground this very moment. For God is in this place. There is a prophetic anointing upon this church. I can feel it right now. There has been things that have been prayed and fasted into the foundation of the identity of this church. And because of God and who God is, and what he wants to do in this city, there is a great prophetic anointing upon this church. What I think you ought to do, I want every man and every woman and every child right now to step out of your pew, and I want you to bring somebody with you right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to come to this altar as fast as you can right